defending God by throwing God out of the argument. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be with you. Great to continue this interesting conversation we've been having over the last couple of days.
Well, that's right. And we're discussing an article that was on Fox News on the 7th of December called Science Versus God, Does Progress Trump Faith? And at the end of the day yesterday, Chuck, for those who were with us, I said that I really wish you would have been one of the debaters on the pro-God side rather than, well, at least one of the two of the debaters, Dinesh D'Souza, who's the former dean of King's College, who's a author who's written some natural law defenses of Christianity, and who I believe is a Roman Catholic. Now, his cohort in this debate that took place in New York City last week was a nuclear science and engineering professor at MIT by the name of Ian Hutchinson. Well, you know, that's fine that these two gentlemen were debating. Now, the issue they were debating, well, first of all, they were debating, if you didn't hear us yesterday, two gentlemen. One is Michael Shermer, the founding publisher of Skeptic magazine, and Michael Shermer is probably one of the best-known defenders of atheism in the United States, and Lawrence Krauss, who's a theoretical physicist at Arizona State University, and who I've had the, well, distinct displeasure of having to hear live debate over issues relating to intelligent design and creation and evolution. Very slippery and very, shall we say, less than directly ethical debate on Krauss's part.
You mean from an atheist? No ethics?
No.
Shock.
Well, you know what? I would rather have two atheists who were honest and honestly admitting they're unethical, as opposed to two Christians who immediately throw God out of the mix.
I would agree with you. It's actually easier to talk to an atheist than it is a Christian who's willing to surrender every Christian distinctive before you go into the argument.
Well, and that's what happened in this debate. Well, and according to, I wish we had a tape of the debate. I really do. I'd love to hear how, once Dinesh D'Souza threw out God from the equation to start with, how he managed to get to the end of this debate. Now, this debate was an interesting one, Chuck, because at the end of it, the audience was asked to vote on who won the debate.
Oh, God.
Now, those are always weighted against those who are believers, because oftentimes what you'll have is, and if you notice, you have a theoretical physicist and a nationally known atheist against a, well, recently besmirched former dean of a college and a nuclear engineer.
Who nobody's really ever heard of unless they're hanging around in those circles. You're right. The audience is clearly going to be stacked. Shermer and company will always make sure that their acolytes show up. Now, what's interesting about this, there is just a lot of nonsense that these guys brought up, and they were essentially, and by the nonsense, I mean Shermer and
Lawrence Krauss.
Yeah, Lawrence, were allowed to bring up without any attempt to counter what they were talking about. Some of these things about evolutionary theory, about why people believe in God and that kind of thing. Look, you can't prove that, because first of all, fine, I would have said fine, you can use an evolutionary theory the minute you prove evolution is a fact. And that's a little beyond the scope of this argument.
Yeah, well, it is.
So I would have said, okay, fine, it's on a presuppositional basis, now prove evolution.
Thank you. That was where the debate should have gone.
Yes.
But instead, here's what happened. Dinesh D'Souza immediately threw out in his opening statement, the questions to which God is the answer are not scientific questions. Well, Charles, I would take umbrage at that, because every question has God as part of the answer, because God is part of the question.
Okay, let's get down to the base assumption here. All science has philosophy at its base.
Absolutely.
And all philosophy has religion at its base.
It has to.
It has to.
It has to.
What do you believe? What do you know? And how do you know it?
Those are the central questions. But what happened was, D'Souza, now I'll give credit to Hutchinson, who's his teammate on this, and he basically said, okay, here's the deal. His point was that the discussion centers on the central tenets of religious faith, not what he called peripheral issues, such as the century-old Christian's belief that the sun orbited the earth. You see, Krauss and his buddies immediately tried to go into the whole geocentrism issue to try to say, that Christians are foolish because some of them might believe that.
Which, by the way, is Greek science.
Is Greek.
And not
Christian.
Christian theology.
No, it's humanistic philosophy.
That's right. It always has been. The fact that the church went through and adopted a number of Greek ideas is the fault of the theologians who fell into the trap of listening to guys like the atheists here, which is exactly where the Greeks were coming from. The Greeks were a mix of people. They believed in, they claimed they believed in these gods, but really the gods were a crutch and a mechanism. As you can see in Greek plays, Jesus doesn't show up much in our movies. Maybe the temptation, last temptation of the Christ.
Well, I was going to say his name shows up a lot, but it's usually not in a positive connotation.
Yeah, not in the reverential sense.
No, not at all. But and sometimes when it is reverential, it's in the wrong context.
Yeah, and essentially the gods were an easy mechanism. Okay, that's what the atheists are making the case about. Now, here's the case I'm going to make from presuppositionally. These guys are attempting to use universal laws of physics and science to prove the point that there is no God. Well, what they have done in doing so, and we really don't have the time to walk through this, but the fact that they are acknowledging that there is a realm of law that is in fact a non-material reality is an admission that there is a spiritual realm.
Well, yes, and even D'Souza actually admitted to that by saying that religion is a human enterprise to gain knowledge beyond the empirical. So he's trying to, first of all, separate science. Science is all empirical and religion is metaphysical, but that's not true because science has much in metaphysics to it as well. Just take our example we gave a couple days ago about the, we believe that this planet could be habitable. Why? Because that's what we believe. We've set criteria, and by those criteria, we hope that this can be.
Let's take it back even further than that.
Sure.
This is the question that all materialists must answer. Where did the cosmic egg come from? There are two.
Well, the cosmic chicken.
That would be Super Chicken.
Yes, it would.
He's everywhere. He's everywhere.
And I think he sits on the back of the turtle, which is on the back of the elephant.
Okay. If you can't answer that question, there are two possible answers. It just is.
Which is unsatisfactory.
That's very unsatisfactory. That is a philosophical question in which you basically say that your uncaused first cause is matter.
Right. But then the question is begged, where did the matter come from?
That's right. Well, and that's the whole point. At that point, you say matter is God, and it self-organized and wrote all the laws of physics in the universe, okay?
And therefore, the Big Bang.
Yeah. So, therefore, the universe itself has intelligence. That can't happen randomly.
So that's the reason why we had SETI.
Yeah, well.
Now it's starting to all make sense.
The search for extraterrestrial intelligence, in case you didn't know what he was talking about.
If the universe has intelligence, then somehow we must have... isn't that the basis of a lot of good science fiction movies?
Oh, absolutely.
But should it be the basis of good science?
It can't be the basis of good science, Barry, because that leaves the door open. Well, if you believe, and this is not based on something you observed, if you believe that matter just is, why can't I believe in a spiritual intelligence that actually created three-dimensional reality and matter?
Because I said you can't.
And there's the bottom line. That's where D'Souza should have been going.
They should have gone right at that presupposition and taken it up by the root. But what does he do? He first says that, we don't see other religions as wrong. That's a major capitulation right there.
Well, essentially, you're arguing for deism rather than for Christianity.
Exactly. Then he goes into this whole, hyper-simplistic argument, okay? Basically, they were talking about personal religious experiences. Now, it's interesting, they got immediately into metaphysics, and this was the supposedly skeptic and the hard scientist getting into metaphysics.
Which they're not allowed, the area where they've roped off and they're not allowed to play.
Unless they can use it as a club.
And then that's it.
So Michael Shermer said, and I quote, "Advancements in neuroscience are showing how changes in the brain create phenomena responsible for them, such as out-of-body experiences." He says, "The experiences are real. What we want to know is, what do they represent?" So Dinesh D'Souza comes back. Wait a minute. If 95 out of 100 people in a village say they know a villager named Bill, the simplest explanation is that Bill exists, he said. Chuck, do you see the logical error with that one right there? Because it jumped out at me fairly quickly.
Wow.
And then he says, likewise, widespread religious experience is unlikely to be the result of a mass hallucination. But I'll give credit, though, because Lawrence Krauss actually helped D'Souza in this one, and he jumped in and he said, "The fact something may be relatively universal suggests we may be programmed to believe in certain things. That doesn't mean they exist." That's about as existentialist as you can possibly get.
Programmed by whom?
Thank you. That question wasn't asked. D'Souza left it out there. Now, the problem with D'Souza's argument, if 95 out of 100 people in a village say that they know a villager named Bill, could it be that they're lying to you? Or could it be that you don't know the dialect and you're getting the name wrong? Or could it be that Bill's dead? All of these things could be possible.
It's a problem. It's an attempt to ask a metaphysical question with a physical example of which
it doesn't fit. It's poorly done, but the point is, that's the level of deep religious thinking that was brought to the table with Dinesh D'Souza. Now, Ian, ladies and gentlemen, you may get mad at me because you feel I'm beating up on him. I am. I'm beating up on the man.
Yeah.
I've heard him talk before. He often immediately gives ground on the presupposition that God is and he is who he says he is.
You and I listened to him speak.
In St. Louis
4 years ago. And the first thing, you and I leaned over at dinner and said he just gave the farm away.
Yeah, he does this in every debate he's in. He immediately hands over the God card.
Yeah.
Because he wants to argue from natural law and reason. That's all fine and well, but the point is it has to be based in something. And if you've given up the God aspect of it, what have you got left?
Scholasticism always fails at the end.
Yes, it does.
Because you can't get to Christ. You can get to deism, but you can't get to Jesus. So at the end, you lose the debate, because what you've basically proven is that there's some intelligence out there that did something at one time, but we haven't seen them since. Now, there's nothing wrong with natural law, as long as you understand that it's superseded by revealed law, that is part and parcel of revealed law, but that revealed law goes even further and actually gives you the detail, fills in the blanks that natural law leaves closed. I mean, we all know it, that there is such a thing as natural law. It's the law written on men's hearts. It's why even pagan societies don't like kidnapping and murder and theft.
Absolutely. Well, and the other thing is, D'Souza also gives up ground. He says the last good argument against God came out in the 1850s, referring to Darwin's theory of evolution. Well, Chuck, the big problem is, since the 1850s, spokespeople like Dinesh D'Souza for Christianity have had an awfully difficult time getting past that good argument.
Well, that's absolutely right, and it's because they tacitly accept it.
Exactly.
Now, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater too much. Do animals change?
Yes, they do.
And for their environment.
Right.
Yeah, let's take a look. If you've ever seen Napoleon Dynamite, his favorite animal was a liger.
Yeah, I like ligers too.
The liger. It's a cross between a lion and a tiger. Okay, you got to ask yourself, those two animals can interbreed, yet they're different species. Well, one of the definitions of a species is that it's an isolated population that can no longer interbreed with another part of an isolated population. That means that at some point, there was some animal that was both a veldt dweller and a jungle dweller, and that it had the characteristics of both or neither of those animals, but it was some kind of a cat.
Yes.
And it had a much broader survivability area.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we say that animal evolved? No. It depends on how you define evolution. Evolution is defined as increases in genetic information that improve the species.
Exactly.
Was the lion or the tiger improved by becoming more specialized?
No, because when you specialize, you lose information.
Exactly.
And some information is enhanced, but other information is released.
But the fact that those animals came from a common ancestor at some point does not mean that they evolved. Actually, they devolved.
That's right. And that's the whole point, Chuck. There's another question that should have been posited to Lawrence Krauss and to Michael Shermer. Show me the one case, any case.
A single case,
if you can, of any creature that has gained information in evolution. Now, Chuck, you know, they called this debate intelligence squared. I think I would have called it intelligence divided or
square root.
Or square root intelligence, because obviously there wasn't a lot there. Now, I mentioned to you earlier that, and to close, that this was an audience participation. They took a poll beforehand, and in the poll beforehand, Krauss and Shermer had 37% support, and D'Souza and Hutchinson had 34% support. Well, when they finished the post-debate poll, Krauss and Shermer won, 50% to 38%.
Yeah, not surprising.
Not surprising when the Christian apologists give up the foundational basis of your Christian belief in order to appease the world.
That's right. And with that being said, join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.